Let me go ahead and get us started then. I'm going to go through the agenda. We're going to have some announcements. We'll do the introductions and reintroductions and do a quick review of the current outstanding action items and then talk about the work items, also fairly quickly, just a minute each. And then Chris will introduce a little bit about what we're trying to do to formalize the process for our work items. We've been we've sort of stumbled on a process, and we want to formalize that a little bit. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about intellectual property requirements, especially as related to the DID spec work and the AMIRA work, which is the engagement model, both of which are being done on conversations that aren't on this call, and we need to bring them into the IP fold. And then the rest of the call is to talk about three different items related to DIDs. So that's the agenda. And yeah, there's definitely some feedback from someone. And Chris, I see you put yourself on the queue.
Yeah, basically a couple of items have come up from the verifiable claims working group of status registry to be handled as a work item for the CCG. So I just wanted to have like maybe Manu 3 minutes, 4 minutes to introduce the topic to everybody, and then we'll schedule it at a future meeting. But I just want to make sure everybody here knew about the a potential new work item that this group would need to do. So just wanted to put that in at the appropriate place.
Okay, how about we do that just before the DID discussion? So 7:30.
Sounds good.
Okay, so announcements. So I'm actually a little confused on the scheduling with the DID reconciliation draft next week, but I believe with the progress Manu's had and the work that's been going on in the DID meetings, we're hoping to have that on the agenda to talk about next week. Is that right, Chris? Am I following that?
Well, just to begin the process, I mean, in the sense that, you know, Manu has some stuff that he will talk about today. There'll be some discussion, there'll be some hardening things as well. And like what remains, what needs to be settled, we will be doing next week and in January. So I think that was basically okay. The idea. I mean, we don't even know quite yet where they conflict or if they conflict. So
right.
What is the work to be done?
So next Tuesday, we'll pull the work of that committee that's been meeting into here and start working on the reconciliation, which will probably take a month or month and a half, especially given the holiday interruption. Okay, the following week, the 19th, which will be our last meeting before the holiday interruption, we're going to share some 2018 planning as well as touching on what we achieved in 2017. That's just coming from the chairs. We want to let people know what we're thinking of doing and get feedback and input on it. And then the third announcement is we will not be having meetings on the 26th or the 2nd. Those are right after major holidays, so we will be skipping those. And so our next meeting, or the first meeting of the next year, will be January 9th. So those are our announcements. How are we doing on the queue? We're still good? Okay. So introductions and reintroductions. Is there anyone who's a ongoing member who hasn't done that in a while and would like to do that? Do we have a list? We should keep a list and invite people more directly. For some reason, Dave Longley caught my eye earlier today. Dave, have you reintroduced yourself recently?
I have, but I can
you have,
go
maybe,
again.
Well, maybe that's why. How about someone else?
Joe, why don't we get I think Thomas from Consensus to introduce himself?
Perfect.
Hi, can I come with your query? Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Oh, good. Okay. Hi, I'm Thomas Hay. I work with Consensus. I am interested in identity, particularly in its applications related to education and education claims, and come from a background working in education in K through 12 schools initially, and am now working on ways to improve how we attest to our sort of education credentials.
Okay, cool. Thanks. So was that a reintroduction? That your first introduction, Thomas?
First introduction.
Okay, great. Well, welcome to the Credentials Community Group.
Thank you.
Indeed.
I can go next, actually, if that's okay. My name is Akeem.
Yes, please.
I am from Consensus as well. Sure. Yeah, so I actually work along with Thomas, and I was a few minutes late. Sorry about it. So I come from a background of I used to work for Oracle in their building Oracle products and leading them, and then I founded my own startup in the edtech space, and then moved on to Consensus. And I have a background of working in identity space and then in education. So the the confluence of identity and education is where my interest lies. And I work along with Tom on the in Consensus where we are trying to we are building a product that uses these claims in the educational space, and how we can use identity and claims to effectively give attestations and certifications in the education space. So yeah, and this is my first meeting as well. So it's a reintroduction and not a reintroduction.
Great, thank you. I think we missed your name. Could you repeat that so we could get into the notes?
Yeah, my name is Akila.
Okay, A-K-I-R-A?
A-K-I-L-A.
Perfect. Okay, well, welcome, Akila. Glad you could join us. Okay, one more, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Go right ahead.
Hey, sorry. Yeah, this is Mike Xu. Last name is spelled X-U. I'm also from Consensus, and I work with Tom and Akila on the Academy team, and I am a full-stack developer. My background is in developing healthcare analytics software at IBM Watson Health, and I'm also working on academic credentials and identity now.
Okay, great. Welcome. Okay, well, I appreciate the effort folks are doing to get Lionel connected here, or I guess registered with his phone number. So keep working on that. Next on the agenda is current action items. First up is Manu. How are we doing? It looks like we made some good progress with the rebooting web of trust changes to the DID spec.
Yes. So I had a link. Hold on one second. I've got to switch over from scribing. No, that's VC data model. DID spec update. So I sent an email to the mailing list. So this is a DID spec updates. We are working on a set of updates to the DID spec. These are post rebooting Web of Trust updates. So, right after rebooting Web of Trust, there were a series of updates that went in. So that kind of updated the spec to post rebooting Web of Trust. We didn't get all the way through. Then Dave Lane came in and did a bunch of good updates to it as well, 15 or some odd kind of minor editorial updates, but things that needed to be done. And now we have an additional, let me look at three pull requests that we probably need to pull in. One of them has to do with separating key descriptions, cryptographic key descriptions out of the DID spec. Another one has to do with splitting the DID method registry out of the spec. And the third set of changes are a stab at trying to do what you want to do, Joe, which is change the identity language to talk more about identifiers. The DID spec is about identifiers primarily, and then that has repercussions on identity. So changing the kind of the tone of the spec in that way. I expect that we'll be putting more changes. So it's good that Mark Miller's on the call today and Chris Weber. I need to work with both of you to come out with a new PR that moves the object capabilities stuff into its own spec. So I'm planning on doing that either this week or next week sometime. I think Chris Weber and I are going to touch base at some point today or tomorrow, partly to talk about that. So yeah, lots of changes to the DID spec, lots of updates, lots of editorial stuff. We're also engaged with the DID hardening spec discussions. So I think we resolved two things last week. Those will have PRs there. So just been a flurry of activity around the DID spec. So that's good. I expect before Christmas, before the end of December, we're going to have many of the updates that we need into the spec. And at that point, we'll probably need folks to kind of re-review the spec, see what the holes are, and then prioritize what the next set of changes are going to be there. So that's at a high level. That's kind of what's going on with the DID spec right now.
Great. Thanks, Manu. That sounds awesome. I know we were waiting a lot for you to get those in, and that's a ton of work. So there's a link that you put provide information on how people can reply and give input on those PRs?
There are direct links to the PRs, and the way that you give feedback for those of you that are new, we track everything on GitHub as GitHub issues and pull requests. You can go into the pull request and you can comment line by line if you want to on the pull requests. Once we have enough review on it and there's no one objecting to the pull requests, we'll pull them in. I'm requesting 7 days, so a 7-day period of comments on the pull requests. And if there are no objections in that time, I'll go ahead and pull it in before the next meeting. So
okay,
any objections to that timeline?
So speak now if there are any objections, or you can put it in the IRC for a 7-day comment period to pull those in unless we have objections. Okay, I think that's a ringing endorsement, Manu. Okay, so my action item is I will comment on I did a quick read through it, Manu. It looked pretty good, but I want to take some time and see if we're to get more of the gist of it. But mostly the changes look pretty straightforward, so I will take a look at that in the next week. The next action item is Manu with the Veris 1 DID spec.
No progress.
Still think January looks good for that? No progress.
Yeah, hopefully.
But January still looks good.
Hopefully.
Okay, and then next one was the discuss reconciliation. We've got that in the queue, so we're going to pick that up next week. And then we're going to do a virtual hackathon the week of January 15th. So that's going to include BTCR and other DIDs. So if you've got a DID method spec, we want to get it in the conversation and rally some developers. So I think the chairs need to reach out to folks. If you have a DID method, and or I know Marcus, who's been working on the resolver at DIFF, is interested. So, let us know, and we'll figure out how to schedule into that. Status of work items. Okay, I know David can't make it today.
Hold on. Are there any are there any more? Are we missing any action items?
Good question.
I think, sorry, this is Manu. I think there's kind of a general action item around the registries. So there's, and I don't know where I think we discussed this before we go into the bid spec, but I just wanted to point out that this group has to accept, I think, at least three, if not four, new work items for things to continue to be smooth with respect to both the VCWG and the DID specs. Is primarily this group has to start considering doing registries, informal registries for key types, DID methods, and verifiable credential status methods.
What was the last one? Verifiable credential status?
Status method, yeah, like credential status checking methods. It's the one of the new PRs in the VCWG.
Okay.
So basically the action item is we either have to accept them as work items or find another solution. So.
Yep.
Right, so which means we need a proposal to have them as work items, I think, process-wise, right? So do the PRs constitute a proposal, or is that something we can pick up next week as a conversation to consider those as work item proposals?
I think the PRs could constitute a proposal, right? I mean, so if anyone has objections to the PR, you have objections probably to the – you can object to the PR on the basis that you don't think we should have an informal registry.
Well, we
okay, so we can take the time to review the PR, to review that option, and next week we can formally say, okay, everyone seemed to like it, let's adopt these work items.
Yeah, although, sorry, I'm gonna argue against myself now. Our process is a bit different than that, though, right? I mean, because we usually propose these as work items, and that doesn't take, like, we could do it on the call today in 5 minutes, hopefully.
Okay, I'm just looking at our schedule. I guess, Kim or Chris, do we have any objection to considering that?
Well, yeah, well, we can talk about it a little bit more when we talk about the process, my process 10 minutes. So, but yeah.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, no objections.
Okay, so we'll talk about that in agenda item 6. Okay, so work items, a minute each. Lifecycle model, David Chadwick. I do have the two URLs. So that has been posted as a repo. I think Manu put that together from David's draft. Please engage with it. Give feedback. I think there's some good content in there that we can fold into spec text in various different places. So he's basically done with his draft. The engagement model work I'm going to touch a little bit on in the intellectual property conversation. That work has been working through the it's an engagement model called Amira. It's what we came up with at the Boston Rebooting Web of Trust, and we need to fold that into our work, and we'll probably do that hopefully early January. Dave Longley, how's the verifiable claims browser API and browser polyfill coming?
We do not have actually, I see David C's on the queue. Do we want him to go first?
Oh, sorry. Oh, he is here. Sorry, David, thought you weren't going to make it.
Yeah, can you hear me? I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah, I just finally managed to get OnSIP working. It's taking me back to the 25 minutes, but yeah, it's working, so I can now getting over the internet and listen and talk. So that's all I wanted to say. If there are any questions about the life cycle, then I could answer them.
Okay.
Thank you to Andrew Hughes, by the way. Andrew, thank you for pointing us to this.
Okay. I couldn't make out that last bit. Could you try repeating, David?
Just thank you to Andrew Hughes for pointing us to the OnSIP website.
Okay, great. Okay, Dave Longley then about the API and polyfill.
Sure. We are planning on contacting Google's team a little bit after the holidays, since it's going to be pretty busy the last few weeks here. But I would encourage anyone to check out the issues that we have. I put the link that's in there. If you have any feedback or you want to participate in any of the currently pending issues, in particular, if you have any feedback, I'm kind of looking at Kim and Christopher here, because you, Kim mentioned in this issue that it's relevant to BTCR and the VC prototype for the query format for verifiable profiles. So if anyone interested in issues, please participate there. And we'll be hopefully talking to Google's team early next year to see where we are with respect to browser implementation.
Okay, great. Thanks, Dave. Lionel, how are things going with the data minimization and selective disclosure work?
First of all, I managed to connect to that SIP client, thanks to whoever sent that email. Can you hear me okay?
Great. Yeah, you're loud and clear.
So basically, we do not make much progress in the last few weeks because I was snowed with some other stuff, but I got a ping from our friends at Sovereign who helped write it, and that's kicking us back into action. So I understand we have 2 weeks break now, so I hope to report next time we meet and check in all the changes and have it ready for sharing.
Okay, so we don't, just to clarify, the two-week break is in 2 weeks, so we will be meeting next week and the following week.
Ah, okay, so I'll try to have some progress for next week, just can't promise it.
Perfect. Thanks, Lionel. And then DID and method specs, Manu, I think we already got your update, and then we're going to be talking more about DIDs later. So is there anything to add here?
Nope.
Okay. Okay, agenda item 6 is formalizing our process for work items, and specifically to document it in a way that people can look at it and we can have a conversation about it and get some group review of it. Chris, you want to introduce that?
Sure. So basically, I just posted in the IRC chat a link to sort of a working document for now. Just to be clear, the community group process for W3C is new and is a little ad hoc, so we don't actually benefit from a lot of existing process that is formalized in the W3C. However, there have been calls for there to be more formal process about how CGs do things. So trying to fit this in. I start off at the top just for reference what the requirements are for rebooting Web of Trust, simply because some of the documents from rebooting Web of Trust are moving in this direction. So in that group, it's a lower standard. All the accepted projects must be a collaboration, but it doesn't really require consent of the overall community. That's different in our community in the CCG. In that community, everyone agrees that the document is open source, typically CC BY for white papers. In that community, the editors make final decisions on draft, and they make a decision about the list of collaborative co-authors and contributors. The co-authors must agree to the document, must consent to the document. Contributors do not need to consent to the document. We have this concept of contributors, people that have, offered something, but either haven't registered agreement or it was a small contribution or whatever. We upload those to drafts. They're submitted to an editor, and the editor either passes it on after the lead approves the final draft, and then we're done. In the W3C, we basically have our work items, which are items that the group has agreed to collaborate on. We have the drafts, which are work items that have no principled objections but can be updated and changed. And then we have something called final reports, which are drafts that have reached a level that they're sort of done. It's not to say that there can't be a revision in the future per se, but they're really locked down as a permanent reference. The history of reports is that they're typically submitted to a working group or to some kind of task force to form a working group. So once you have a working group, the working group can accept a community group's final reports as notes, or they can work on them as specifications. But that's up to them once they accept things. So sort of the tentative work process that we've been talking about here and what we've been following, I think, for the last 6 months or so, albeit loosely, is that someone proposes an abstract or draft of something to become ultimately at least a draft, not necessarily a report. We accept it as a work item with 1 week of comments. Typically, what we do is here in one of these calls, we do, we try to get a plus ones or rough consent here, and then give a week of people to basically have an opportunity on the list to also comment. And if there aren't, if it's rough consensus, we accept, and there's, people actually working on it. We call it a work item, and that means that we're going to list it every week, as like we did today, just a few minutes ago, of saying, what's the status of these work items? This next section is a little is new and a proposal. It's not something we've actually been doing, but ideally CG drafts should, have more than one editor. But in some cases, especially for things like, where it's really, primarily one person authoring it, it is acceptable for there to be one editor. But there must be collaborators, and eventually, we want broad review of anything that we're going to take to and formalize as a draft when mature. So when it is mature, the community basically publishes the CG the draft and sort of says, hey, we've reached a level of consensus, and there are really no principled objections, which I thought was in here. It must have gotten moved around.
You have it earlier, actually.
Where is it?
Yeah. You mentioned that the draft work items with no principal objections. Although I think that's not quite right, but we can tease that out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. In any case, when the draft is mature and it's we consider it to be done, we hand it off to a working group as a report. The working group can decide if it wants to be a note or whatever. There is, two sort of special things here. The first one has to do with the we tend to do specs, or things like the registries and things of that nature. But some items may be these more summary things. An example of that would be, for instance, one on self-sovereign identity or our data minimization and selective disclosure documents. So we may want to have, there is no formal difference between them as far as a working group or as a draft in the kind of the formal process. We may want to consider that. But the other aspect that's very different than the than say rebooting is that the rebooting thing is open source. In for these specs, everybody who is an editor or a co-author needs to be a member of the CCG with the IPR agreement signed. And this is actually a pretty big issue because there are a few things that, you know, a few parties that have been, you know, contributors to stuff that we don't have an IPR from yet, and that's an issue. I just got a note from Joe that he just lost power and got disconnected, so I'll keep run the queue for a little bit. Finally, these I'm not sure what to call them. It's not really notes; that's not the right word, but you know, other documents. These things like the data minimization, the things that aren't specs, may not require IPR, but from all the members. But it's even that's complicated. If, for instance, something that could be construed as a process patentable item. So this clearly needs some work, but I wanted to kind of put it out at where we are at with it now, and you know, get some feedback from folk and see if we can't finalize this in the next month or two. I guess that means that this is should be an agenda item. Go back to IRC. Okay, Joe, go ahead. Oh, Joe is out. So one of the things that Joe really wanted to talk about was the IPR aspects of this stuff. Manu, you also have dealt with the IPR stuff. Can you speak a little bit to it and, you know, what we need to be more clear on for the future?
Sure. There's a queue, so I'll put myself on the queue to do that.
Okay, so Joe is absent for the moment. His power went out. Moses, you're next.
I'm sorry, it's a little non sequitur, but I have this new project, and I wanted to solicit some input from people. I'm working with a very large.
Yeah, we should probably hold
that.
Moses, let's hold off on new project.
Okay.
Thanks. Manu, you're next.
Right. So intellectual property release. So we've got a number of new folks to the group. If you have not joined the Credentials Community Group and signed the intellectual property release, please do that. We cannot accept any contributions from people that have not done that. All W3C specifications are done in a patent and royalty on a patent and royalty free basis, which means that we have to be very careful about the ideas and concepts that get into the specifications. Primarily, when things go to be official international standards, you have to make sure that there are no patent implications for any of the stuff, any of the technical stuff in the specs. We have had a number of people joining the Did Hardening discussion that have not done an IPR release yet. So if you have not done one, and if you're new to the group or you've participated in the Did Hardening documents, please make sure to check the page. So let me get the credentials, community group. Let me get the page of members. And if you're not on list, that's for join. This is participants, right? So here's the link for all the participants. If your name or your organization does not show up in that list, you need to do the IPR agreement. I think that's pretty much it. Like once you do the IPR there, we're at least you've done the minimum, and we're good. At some point in the future, we'll be doing a final specification agreement, which has another IPR commitment. And then when you officially join W3C working groups, you do another IPR commitment at that point. So yeah, that's basically it.
Right. So we have to be a little bit more careful in this process than we've been in the past. There are also some issues for rebooting when we know a document in rebooting is moving toward potentially W3C credentials track, and I'll deal with that offline. We want to create a process that is more clear about the various steps, what the requirements are for each of those steps. We want to be clear with people that the reports tend to be intended for submission to a working group. So, for instance, if we did a report on self-sovereign identity, or a report on privacy requirements for selective disclosure and minimum data minimization, that the ideal is that we submit it to a working group for them to publish as a formal WG note, hopefully. Any questions before we move to the next agenda item? Mm-hmm.
So this is Joe. I had a power outage. I still don't have internet, but I have my phone. So
okay, Joe. While you were out, we talked about sort of the intellectual property issues. Manu spoke specifically to the different things there. It's 9:44, so is there anything else we want to do on IPR or this issue process? Joe? Okay, so I'm not sure if Joe is out again. Moving on to the next agenda item, we had said that we would briefly talk about these lists. So these are these registries that may be an additional work item for us to consider. So the idea behind registries is that CCGs have some persistence that a working group does not. CCGs also have some lower level of requirements than a working group does. So it makes sense for a variety of registries to be maintained for the long term by a community group such as the credentials community group. So specifically, Manu, do you want to tell us about the ones that are being proposed that this CCG might want to take on as a work item?
Yeah, let me find the links. So here's one of them. So here's the verifiable claims status registry. And this registry is basically status methods. It's really simple. So let me kind of start from the top. The registries are informal. They're not official in any way, shape, or form, right? So there's no W3C sign-off that's necessary for them. And we're doing that so that it's easy to update the registries. The other thing with the registries is that they're community controlled. So we have calls like this on a weekly basis. The community decides what goes in the registry, what doesn't go in the registry. The barrier for entry into the registry is pretty low at this point. Right. In the future, we will probably say whether or not a specific thing in the registry passes a test suite. But for today, since we don't have test suites for the DID method spec or the verifiable credentials, status information, or linked data key stuff, those requirements are just not there. So fundamentally, these are really simple, informal registries that are community controlled, and they're effectively pointers two different types of either did method specs, status methods, or key type, key material specifications. So at a high level, that's kind of what they are. I'm trying to find the other two links to the other two registries now.
Okay. So I think the one of the key things here to be, you know, is that we may need to have, in the same way we're, you know, we may need to specifically talk about these registries in our process document that was just discussed. They're not listed in there. It could be that some registries on founding or acceptance as a as an ongoing work item, you know, have a lower standard than no principled objections, and some may have a higher standard than no principled objections. The difference being, you know, one is you want it, you know, it's no big deal. You can add a method for whatever weird blockchain thing you want to do. It doesn't, you know, it's not a full consent type thing. Whereas something else like a maybe one of these status registries might be that you've published a you know, some kind of test thing for it and it conforms to the test. So we would decide, you know, I guess we would decide on the acceptance of these registries, you know, what the requirements are for that registry. So I guess we have two action items. One is, we need a process for these registries. So I guess, is that how do we do it? Just action colon?
What are you trying to do with the action? Yeah, action colon does an action.
Okay. And then action item of accept Manu's list of registries.
Oh, I think you're talking about a proposal. So the proposal is to adopt the registries. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. I think that the I'm fine with. We need a process for the registries. We need a detail. We need a proposal for, you know, the process. You just said something about, you know, some may require. You know, what are these registries? I just simply like to see a proposal for what is a registry generically, and a process by which we accept, you know, we, you know, set whatever the consent requirements for them are or aren't, and that they're, you know, potentially perpetual, and we just simply accept that process, and then we would accept your list of registries as work. As you know, as work items under registries, that makes sense.
It does. I'm a bit concerned that we're making it more heavyweight than it needs to be. So the other way we could approach this is just say these are work items documents that the community maintains, and the process of making changes to the document is the same process that we have for any other document that we have as a work item, which is you make a pull request, the community discusses it, and then they decide whether or not they want to pull the pull request in or not. And that feels like...
And that's all I'm asking you to document.
Okay. Okay.
I think the big difference is that that these have a little bit, you know, they don't finalize. They don't quite have an editor. They're perpetual. I mean, they are just a little bit different now. But other than that, they're just using our process. So that's all I'm wanting a little bit more on. And I would, you know, I added you as an editor for that process document. Which you actually did a lot of editing on it as it stands. But I'd just like to try to get that in there somehow as a...
Okay,
as a,
so you want you
item.
Want it added to the process document, the CG process document. Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, I'm also willing to, you know, I mean, let's... does anybody have any... You know, I'm also willing to, you know, accept them as work items, you know, whether or not we have it in the process document. I definitely want the process document... aspect of this
Ryan, go ahead.
So the question is, what is a credential status list? Is it a list of credentials, or is this like a schema DDL type of thing where we list the possible statuses that a credential of this type could have?
So you haven't been involved in the verifiable claims working group discussion around this stuff. So I'll try to catch folks that haven't been involved in that up to speed pretty quickly. We need to understand how to do repudiation. So let's say an issuer issues a credential to someone, and then they go run off with that credential, and then the issuer mm-hmm. says, "Oh, I made a mistake. I want to revoke it, or I want to suspend it." There is a mechanism that needs to be employed so that the issuer can say that thing I said a couple of weeks ago is no longer valid, or there are problems with what I said. So people have thought of these things as kind of revocation lists previously. That's how the kind of the CA system dealt with it. But there is this desire to make them more generalized, so that you can say that a credential that you issued has either been suspended and give a reason for the suspension, or it's been revoked and give a reason for the revocation, and there may be other actions that you want to provide for a credential. So there are two mechanisms that people are looking at. One of them is basically what looks like a credential revocation list or a credential status list, and the other one, and you publish that on a website, and the other one is where you publish this stuff on a blockchain. So the registry tells you all the different types of ways that you can talk about the status of a credential. Did that help?
Also to be, yeah.
So I think what you said is that the type of ways, it's like a schema type thing where you say, here's a thing you can call it revoked or suspended or whatever.
That's a part of it, but it's not just the vocabulary. It is a way for me to say, these are the credentials that I have revoked or suspended as an issuer.
Right. And just to be clear here, part of the problem is that a number of the requests around how do you repudiate, so this is sort of a separate question than the kind of cryptographic revocation, like my keys are bad, thus don't trust anything that I signed before. This is more of a sort of in the family terms of use, and it's very oftentimes business specific. You know, an educational institution might have a very different set of status questions that need to be asked or whatever than, say, some other community. So the idea is that, you know, if the educational community wants to define a bunch of business reasons why different kinds of suspensions and other stuff happen, that they can basically define that list, how you access that list, you know, what all those different things mean. And the only thing that has to be specified in the verifiable claims working group is here is the, you know, if you support it, the class of things that that are for this business process. So they can't really define what those business processes are within that working group, and it's easier for, you know, if somebody like the educational community wishes to submit one of these, to give it to tell us. We basically say, sure, that seems reasonable, it conforms to the way other ones are, and then we basically accept it as a registry item. Does that make sense?
That sort of makes sense, but it seems like something's happening on the blockchain, but it's not a DID method.
It's kind of like a verified claim store. No, but don't worry about that aspect of it. It's there are lots of different revocation and suspension techniques, and this is not, you know, this is, we're not defining that. What we're doing is allowing people to you know, communities, associations, et cetera, to basically say, here's a place where we describe how we are doing it.
and how they want to do it, what methods they want to do it, whatever, you know, what techniques they wish to do, what those techniques mean. That's not, you know, we're not approving that side of things. We're just allowing them to describe it in a fashion such that, you know, it is formally listed as, you know, but not necessarily doesn't require, you know, the level of review and other stuff that a working group requires. Does that help?
That helps. I understand it as an easy way to get started.
Yeah, okay. So it's 9:57. We really did want to get to the DID stuff, which we did not get to. Manu, are you still? You had said you had a call that you had to take. You back?
No, I'm on a drop.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So as I suspected might happen, we didn't get to the DID stuff. We really do want to focus on that next week. Does anybody want to talk about things that they would in particular like to see us talk about next week in the DID discussion? We're sort of missing Drummond and Manu. But we just want to make sure if there are any agenda items regarding DIDs or DID methods that they may not know about, that we have those. Chris Weber, you're going to be working with Manu on the, and maybe Mark Miller on the OCAP stuff.
So Zachary Larson here. I'd be interested to hear where we are on the OCAP thing, if it could be sort of presented a little bit, just a small recap of where the efforts are on that. And I'm actually interested in joining Chris and Markham on those efforts as well.
Okay. So apparently we've had some drop-offs, but I think that is a reasonable request for next week to ask one of the various parties to kind of get the status and of the and you know what are we going to do? What are the next steps for? So I'm just going to say status of object OCAP and. Next steps. Okay. So last call for any agenda items either next week or in the next couple of weeks. Okay. Well, I'm not seeing anything. You obviously can make these requests on the discussion list. I encourage everybody. We have a number of new people. The main website has all of our mailing list, subscription, et cetera stuff. So if you're new, definitely go to the CCG site and join the working group for the IPR and join the mailing list. And we can have some discussions before next week's meeting. And next week's meeting will be mostly on DIDs. Thank you very much. Everybody have a good week, and see you next week.
Cool. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
And Chris and Kim, if you're still around, my apologies. Are you still there?
Yeah, we're still on here. So.
Yeah, there's been crazy windstorms, so power outage up and down the coast. I think 3 transformers have gone out. So the cell tower has been going on and off during this call. So sorry I couldn't knock it out of the park my first day sharing the meeting.
No problem. The we had the windstorm here last night, and I have many limbs in the backyard. Fortunately, none hit the roof, but it's pretty bad. One thing we might want to try to do in our next agenda item stuff is we might want to make sure that, you know, we always ask for, you know, are there any more agenda items? Did we miss a work item, you know, et cetera? Maybe formally put that in the agenda so we don't forget those things. Any other things we kind of forgot or didn't do?
We didn't Secretary.
Well today.
Secretary, I forgot, and fortunately Kim stepped up. Or scribe, I guess, is what we call it.
Yeah.
All right.
So I do the same thing informally. We can actually add it to the agenda as an official item because I needed that to remind myself to request that. So we can do that from this week forward.
Yeah, once there's all the rest of the sort of stuff in my head about trying to manage the meeting, it's like that checklist, and I just want to go through it. So I just, you know, having it in the checklist would be helpful for sure.
Okay, well, I'm taking that Google Doc, and I'm starting to revise it for the next one. So scribe, and what do we call the thing that Kim always does? With the
identification, maybe.
Connection
identify?
Check.
Identify? What is?
Yeah, we'll say connection check.
Okay. And then there, we actually have a Google Doc for that. I think we also need to have an add link to Google Doc for the introductions and reintroductions.
Yeah. So there's also, and I don't know the best way to socialize this, but there's a trick Lionel can use, which I learned, which is if he's on an IRC before he connects, he'll be able to see his number when his Skype bleeps that he's connected, if that makes sense.
I think that only works if you're voice over IP.
No, well, so I do it with Skype, and so if I'm in the IRC first, when I call in on Skype and I finally get connected, the Skype will say, bleep, you're connected or whatever. And then the IRC will say, you know, this number is connected. And that's my number. That's how I figure out my number every week.
Okay.
So, anyway, that's just a thought that we might be able to teach him that trick.
Okay.
I'll send him an email with that.
Any other, anyhow, we can talk on Friday, I guess, on other things. I already started making some changes for next week, so we can fix it from there. Okay, well, thank you much.
You guys.
Talk to you on Friday.
Talk to you guys on Friday.
Bye-bye.